Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 27. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded an Adramyttian ship about to sail for ports along the coast of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration, allowing him to visit his friends and receive their care. After putting out from there, we sailed to the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. After sailing slowly for many days, we arrived off Cnidus. When the wind impeded us, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. After we had moved along the coast with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lassia. By now much time had passed, and the voyage had already become dangerous because it was after the fast. So Paul advised them, "Men, I can see that our voyage will be filled with disaster and great loss, not only to ship and cargo, but to our own lives as well." But contrary to Paul's advice, the centurion was persuaded by the pilot and by the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to sail on, hoping that somehow they could reach Phoenix to winter there. Phoenix was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along, hugging the coast of Crete. But it was not long before a cyclone called the Northeaster swept down across the island. Unable to head into the wind, the ship was caught up, so we gave way and let ourselves be driven along. Passing to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we barely managed to secure the lifeboat. After hoisting it up, the crew used ropes to undergird the ships, and fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and were driven along. We were tossed so violently that the next day the men began to jettison the cargo. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the great storm continued to batter us, we abandoned all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have followed my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have averted this disaster and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because you will not experience any loss of life, but only of the ship. For just last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and look, God has granted you the lives of all who sail with you. So take courage, men, for I believe God that it will happen just as he told me. However, we must run aground on some island.'" On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 20 fathoms deep. Going a little farther, they took another set of soundings that read 15 fathoms. Fearing that we would run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. Meanwhile, the sailors attempted to escape from the ship. Pretending to lower anchors from the bow, they let the lifeboat down into the sea. But Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men remain with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and set it adrift. Right up to daybreak, Paul kept urging them all to eat. Today is your 14th day in constant suspense without taking any food. So for your own preservation, I urge you to eat something, because not a single hair of your head will be lost." After he had said this, Paul took bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and took some food themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on board. After the men had eaten their fill, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they sighted a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting away the anchors, they left them in the sea as they loosened the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was being broken up by the pounding of the waves. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners so that none of them could swim to freedom. But the centurion, wanting to spare Paul's life, thwarted their plan. He commanded those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to follow on planks and various parts of the ship. In this way, everyone was brought safely to land. This is God's word. What is there to say about this chapter of Scripture? It faithfully described what happened to Paul as he voyaged to Rome to stand trial. It described how God communicated with Paul and through Paul to save the lives of everyone aboard the ship that was wrecked. And it described how Paul publicly and unashamedly gave thanks to God for the food that he and his fellow travelers ate. Again, verse 35 says, "He took the bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all." In terms of spiritual growth, however, there's very little to be had from reading this chapter, at least on the surface. But think a bit deeper about this. God is sovereign over all things. God called Paul to salvation and commissioned Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul faithfully did that, experiencing persecutions and hardships along the way, as well as problems within the churches that he started. Out of compassion for his Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, who were suffering hunger and need in Jerusalem, Paul led the Gentile churches to collect an offering. As he attempted to deliver that offering, he was told by prophecy again and again that he would face legal problems in Jerusalem. But Paul went ahead anyway, compelled by the Holy Spirit. Once Paul got to Jerusalem, those prophecies were fulfilled and Paul was arrested. To save him from an ambush, he was taken to Caesarea. While in Caesarea, he was not given the trial that he deserved, so he used his rights as a Roman citizen to get a free trip to Rome so he could stand trial there. Now here in Acts 27, as if being a prisoner and facing legal problems were not bad enough, Paul could not even get safe transportation to Rome. Indeed, God allowed him to be transported by a ship that crashed and was destroyed by the sea, according to verse 40. How would you feel about your life and your ministry if all of these things happened to you? Would you feel that God was mistreating you? Would you worry that his favor was not on your work, even though you were doing it in response to his commands and for his glory? Problems and hardships are part of life. They are the result of living in a sin-cursed world, not a personal vendetta from the Almighty against you. God uses these trials to test us and to grow our faith in him, not to hurt us or to push us away. Paul was realistic about the dangers around him, as we saw in verse 31 and verse 34a. But Paul believed God's promise to him, as we saw in verses 23 through 25, and Paul counted on those promises rather than being discouraged by the circumstances around him. Whatever you are facing in your life right now, it probably isn't as terrifying or as potentially tragic as the shipwreck that Paul endured. But even if it is, God allowed it into your life and has a purpose for it. And God will get you through if you trust him. So, if you are dealing with a difficult problem, look to the Lord, pray about this, and trust it to the Lord, and trust his sovereign working in your life. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and there you can get instructions about how to subscribe to these devotionals as a podcast in Spotify or in Apple Podcasts. And so then every day you'll receive a new one, and that can cue you to be listening to and reading God's Word for yourself every day. You can also subscribe to them by email on the same page, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and that email can also cue you to be in God's Word every day. And if you can help me with financial support, please go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.